Hi, and welcome to the Homeopathy Health Show here on the UK Health Radio Network. I'm Atik.
And I'm Nyla.
We're both professional registered homeopaths, and between us have over 25 years of professional practice in this field of healing.
The Homeopathy Health Show is the voice of homeopathy on radio and podcasts around the world, promoting and raising awareness of this truly unique system of healing and healthcare, which is suitable for all ages, young and old.
Every week, we invite guests from the world of homeopathy to come and share their experiences, their work, offer insights, and essentially talk all things homeopathy.
Visit www.ukhealthradio.com to listen now. To find out more about us, you can visit us at www.homeopathyinpractice.co.uk. And whilst you are there, do subscribe to our newsletter.
Be inspired.
And join the conversation.
So let's begin today's show here on the UK Health Radio Network, the world's number one talk health radio.
Real feel-good radio.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of the award-winning Homeopathy Health Show, the voice of homeopathy, bringing you global experts, innovative ideas, and real clinical wisdom from around the world here on the UK Health Radio Network and all major podcast platforms. I'm Atik.
And I'm Nyla. Welcome, everyone.
Well, we do hope you have been well and you've had a pleasant, if not delightful, week, I have to say. Now, homeopathy is amazingly versatile, is it not? Not just for human health, but also the health of our animals, pets, marine life, and plants and crops, did you know, ladies and gentlemen? Agrohomeopathy, which is also called agricultural homeopathy, is the application of homeopathic principles and remedies to plants, crops, soils, seeds, and agricultural systems. Now, this basic idea is that homeopathy seeks to stimulate the healing responses in humans and animals, and homeopathic preparations may be used to support plant health, improve resilience to stress, and enhance agricultural productivity. And oh my word, is it a booming industry now as far as healthcare is concerned, as far as low-cost, versatile, feasible, viable healthcare.
And agrohomeopathy is being used more and more widely around the world for seed germination, crop health, soil regeneration, pest and disease management, yield and quality of the produce. And if you are a new gardener like me, you will scratch your head using those things. And this takes us to our guests today. We are delighted to be joined by two passionate educators, clinicians, researchers, and pioneers who are helping to shape the future of homeopathy in both healthcare and agriculture. Joining us are Dr. Vaibhav Jain and Dr. Yamini Ramesh, founders of Asha Homeo Health Center and the Asha Homeopathic Academy in Indore, India. With more than 16 years of clinical experience, they have dedicated themselves not only to patient care, but also to nurturing and mentoring the next generation of homeopaths through innovative educational programs, clinical training, and professional development initiatives.
Now, Dr. Vaibhav Jain is a practicing homeopath. He's an educator, researcher, and founder of Agrohomeopathy as a project. And over the years, he has become one of the leading voices exploring the application of homeopathic principles in agriculture. Through his work in agrohomeopathy, he has investigated how homeopathic remedies may support plant health, soil vitality, crop resilience, and sustainable farming practices.
And alongside this work, Dr. Vaibhav is also the founder of Homeopathy Junction, an educational platform that connects practitioners, students, and teachers from around the world, helping to promote learning, collaboration, and professional development within the homeopathic community. And if you have not joined his Instagram channel, I think now is the time to do that, because otherwise you are missing out. Dr. Yamini Ramesh is a highly respected consultant homeopath, educator, mentor, and co-founder of both Asha Homeopathic Academy and Homeopathy Junction. Having trained with renowned teachers, including Dr. Rajan Sankaran, Dr. Jayesh Shah, and other distinguished international educators, she has developed a rich and interactive approach to clinical practice, with particular interest in pediatric and psychiatric cases.
Wonderful. Her educational initiatives, including the Rare Medicine Bank and community learning resources for homeopaths, reflect her passion for preserving and expanding the profession's collective knowledge. Woohoo! How wonderful indeed.
Yes, and their work extends from the consulting room and classroom to the fields of sustainable agriculture, where agrohomeopathy is opening exciting new possibilities for the application of homeopathic principles in the natural world. And if you are thinking, yes, the plants don't speak, they just give you results.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
Absolutely. So let's introduce our guests, Naila, and welcome them officially.
Yes, welcome Dr. Weber and welcome Dr. Asha. We are so looking forward to our today's episode.
Thank you so
Thank you so
much.
much.
Thanks
Thanks
a
a
lot.
lot.
It's so nice to have you here. And we have communicated, of course, on social media, on Instagram. Woohoo! And we've been talking a lot. And I know that you are very, you're very healthy as far as the promotion of that was very well said, I have to say to myself there. But you're very healthy for promoting homeopathy and agro-homeopathy specifically. And I do know, ladies and gentlemen, you may have heard slightly differently that some homeopaths do refer to it as agri-homeopathy, but agro-homeopathy seems to be the way forward. Either agri or agri, tomato, tomato, reading, hey, doesn't matter, as long as it's just as long as it's food for the soil and for the plants, is it not, Nyla?
Absolutely. So we welcome you both. Before asking you many questions about our crops and soil health and everything, we would love to know your journey to homeopathy, Dr. Weber and Dr. Yamini. We go one by one. Who goes first?
We're not doing, look at this is my age, we're not doing eeny meeny miny mo, so we'll just go with Dr. Yamini. There we go, ladies first. Okay,
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much for welcoming us and inviting us. It is such a wonderful time having with you. My journey into homeopathy was very simple. So, since childhood, my parents have always given us only homeopathic medicines for my own sickness, for their problems. So it was my home is like a homeopathy home, basically. And my father is a lawyer by profession. My mom was a professor in the college, but my father is a big advocate of homeopathy, and he has always encouraged us to take up homeopathy, consume it for problems and otherwise also. So when I was going to the college, it was not my first choice for sure, because I did not understand. I was just like 16 years old. So he motivated me to take homeopathy, and he said, "No, you don't go into any other branch. This is very good for future, and this is holistic and everything." And that's how I landed into a homeopathic college. And later, when I started studying, I met my first teacher, my mentor, Dr. D.D. Dubey. This is a very interesting story, because this Dr. D.D. Dubey was the most senior homeopath in my city. And someone recommended me to go to him to learn. So we have this 5.5 years of graduation course in India. From my first year only, one of my teachers said he's a very good clinician. So if you want to learn, you go to him. And he was a retired person. He was in his 70s when I met him, from an agriculture college. He was a dean of an agriculture college. So he took the voluntary retirement a few years back when I met him, and started his own homeopathic practice. And he was an amazing guide, mentor. So he taught me repertories, how to use materia medica. So he taught me a lot of things. And then, slowly I went to Dr. Shankaran, Dr. Jayesh, and that's how, my homeopathic practice started after my graduation. So
What a
this is,
beautiful journey.
yeah, it was.
Wonderful. It's so we always become we both of us become so inspired when we have guests on the show, and just to ask these stories, because everyone has such beautiful stories of how they ended up in homeopathy. And I remember once somebody said they saw a leaflet in a shop, in a library, sorry, about homeopathy, or someone came across a book, and these things are amazing, aren't they? Or it's just in the family, or you just seem to be drawn that way, isn't it, Nyla?
Yeah, absolutely. So before we start on talking about other people's journey, because it's always fascinating to talk and to listen to them, we'd love to know your journey, Dr. Vaibhav.
Yeah, so about my journey, so as many people said that they are not supposed to be in homeopathy. So the same thing happened with me. My journey with homeopathy, I would say, is in one word, I would say that I'm not the one who choose homeopathy. Actually, homeopathy choose me. The thing is, before coming into homeopathy, I was actually a genetic engineering person. I have done my PhD, graduation in biotechnology. Then I have pursued my PhD in genetic engineering. And during that period of time, I was actually working on a project where I have to, work on Jatropha plant, which is responsible for biodiesel. So we are working for that particular Jatropha plant, which is highly carcinogenic. And we have to, genetically, we have to incorporate some genes which are more responsible for making that biodiesel. So once we finish that process of making new plants, we have a, we have a some kind of, situation in front of us that we have to grow that plant without using any kind of chemical or the supportive treatment. So at that time, I was actually finding some kind of processes which are, chemical free or organic or Vedic methods of growing plants without using chemicals. So I was just heard about agro homeopathy, which was started by Mr. V.D. Kaviraj. He has used homeopathy medicine very first time in 1986. So I have read some literature of that agro homeopathy, use of homeopathy in agriculture, and I have used that remedies with the help of one of the homeopath near to my city. And I understood the principle of homeopathy first, the similia principle, how homeopathy works in humans, in animals. Then I understand the role of homeopathy in plants. Then I apply that remedies to the Jatropha plant and successfully finished my PhD. And then I left my PhD, that research. I again come to my own native city and I pursue homeopathy then. And
Wow.
that journey started with that agro homeopathy. So that's
But
how I
is
can say that homeopathy choose me. Agro homeopathy choose me. I'm not a person who choose homeopathy.
You know what's really fascinating with what you've just said is that you said Jatropha, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah, so what are the chances of that? Because we use that in homeopathy, right? So, I mean, isn't that amazing? It chose you, right? That tree or shrub or, it chose you. And there you go. I mean, that's just incredible. I love it. That's very exciting, You were involved. You see that energy because,
Yeah.
it grows for erosion control. So it came to you, didn't it? That's so nice.
I have a question before going on further. So you have or genetically modifying the seeds of Jatropha plant.
No, not
Okay.
genetically modified. We just incorporate some genes of the other variety of Jatropha into the Indian variety of Jatropha, and to improve the production of biodiesel, so that plant can, have the features of that particular gene also.
Wow.
It's interesting. And not
It
giving the
is.
plants away as well.
It's
Yes,
brilliant, isn't it? What a journey.
it's like how we are thinking of two different people from different cultures marrying, and the child is a mix of that. That's happening in the plants, but humans are doing that.
Well, yes. I mean, I would take this is the homeopathy elsewhere, so get ready for this. But if we take this one further, it's quite interesting, isn't it? Because you started with this and biodiesel and the toxicity there, and Jatropha being homeopathic as well. And then on the other side, you have the brains as well because of the PhD and everything else you've done. So it's a fusion, isn't it? They should call you the new model for AI agro-homeopathy, you know?
Yeah.
Anna? I mean,
Yes,
hey?
very, very interesting.
Huh?
Neat. That's very interesting. Very thank you. That was a nice story as well. So, how did you both connect then?
So after finishing, I'll take this chance to, introduce homeopathy, Yamini into homeopathy and in my life.
Yeah.
So after finishing my PhD first in genetic engineering, I have just, shifted to the another city for my homeopathy journey. And here I have joined one of my teacher, which is very senior teacher. I assist him initially to understand homeopathy, how homeopathy works in humans, the what are the concept of homeopathy clinically. So that homeopath, frequently asks questions to Yamini that in such cases when we stuck, we both came to Yamini and asked that what could be the remedy? Please help us. So in that, with him, I come to Yamini and discuss the remedies. Then we discuss more about homeopathy. Yamini is one of the first teacher for me in my journey of homeopathy,
Amazing,
Wonderful.
beautiful.
So it's wonderful, isn't it? To you know what's really very beautiful and very blessed is to be able to work together, right? For homeopathy, because we learn so much from one another, right? Homeopaths generally, if you're working closely with somebody, it's wonderful because you can discuss so many things. We're always learning, we're always going to be learning. And specifically when it comes to agro-homeopathy, it's an emerging science, and it's the future for plants, crops, for agriculture per se. We know of many homeopaths in New Zealand, Australia, and even in Ireland who are using, I'm sure you know who we're referring to, and they're using homeopathy for crops very, very successfully. I mean, it's the yield is absolutely phenomenal, isn't it, Nyla? We've spoken to a few as well on this, and it's
Absolutely,
such.
there's a huge surge because people want to grow their crops in an organic way and they don't want to use the pesticides. We know now, after using it for years, how pesticides are injurious for our health and what they have caused, what damage has been done to humans and the soil itself. So, Dr. Yamini, what brought you to agro-homeopathy as in, if we need help, can we contact you for the cases as well? Can you please repeat your question? I couldn't hear the later part.
When I was saying, when we have issues with cases, stuck cases, do we come to you as well?
Please, I'll be happy and I'll try my best to help if I can.
Good. Well, I had a consultation recently with a tree, but it didn't move for it didn't move. That was, ladies and gentlemen, I
You
do
have to do the
apologize.
follow-ups
That was the lame joke, was it not? But hey, there you go.
you have to look for second prescription.
Yes, the follow-ups are
Over
needed.
well, climb the tree, isn't it?
Yes.
Look to the top.
So the vital force of the tree will definitely speak to you.
Or I'll fall off it. One or the other.
Yes.
So over to you, Dr. Yamini. This happens in our conversation.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
The station that makes you feel good.
So, when you know what I really what fascinates me in Dr. Webber's journey is that he was a plant lover. He was introduced to agro homeopathy first, and then human homeopathy. And before that, he never actually took homeopathy. I guess you have never been.
No.
On that, consumer end.
Oh, homeopathy, yes.
So it was more of agro homeopathy for him, because he's a hobby gardener basically. So he's too much into plant care and how it can be grown, and kitchen gardening and cooking also. So he was very keen about growing it without chemicals, without chemical fertilizers, no pesticide, nothing at all. So when he got to know, he was already studying this part of homeopathy in not farming then, but in obviously plant care in gardening. And when he used to come to me, he used to give me different plants, and he used to tell me that, okay, you have to do this and water them at this timing and put this remedy, put that remedy. And I used to teach him how to take case of a human and how to treat him. So it was a very nice exchange then. And slowly, then after a few years, we got married, and slowly I also came into agro homeopathy and started doing a lot of experimentation with him. So he used to give me little experiments before that. And then a lot of farmers started consulting us. Because when we used to share that, okay, we are using homeopathic medicine for plant care and animal care. So Dr. Webber sees a lot of pet patients also in our clinic. When the families come, they would bring their pets. Initially, a lot of birds. So I have also, started treating birds.
Oh, wow.
And dogs for sure. So dogs, wow. Cats. And
birds
then
is very interesting. We have to talk about that later. Yes.
So that's how our journey started together.
Beautiful.
Wow.
Such a beautiful journey. It's always inspiring to see how the world moves to bring two individuals together for the purpose, for the sake of doing something good for humanity.
Yeah.
And the living beings, just like the plants and the animals. So would love to know what is happening in your world. What are you doing? What are the projects that you are working on?
So first of all, we are doing a lot of researches right now in agro homeopathy. So we are using homeopathy for garden care, for farming, and in different varieties of plants. So in edible, mostly we have done edible crops, because this is a burning question of today's world, that how do we grow our food without adulterating that? Because when the food comes to our plate, we understand that it is already poisoned. It's we are not talking about the fast food or the preserved food. It's already toxic when it comes to your plate, raw food also, because we are just putting innumerable fertilizers and chemical pesticides, and we just want to grow X amount of crop or X number of things out of proportion. We are just taking a lot of things from the land, which is very, very toxic culture. So what we are doing right now is, if someone wants to shift to sustainable farming, so we call it sustainable farming, because with agro homeopathy we use organic fertilizers as well. So we tell them that, okay, if you want to shift to agro homeopathy totally, it's good. And even if you don't want to shift, please try in particular, suppose if you have one plot, we tell them that, okay, you take half of your plot or one fourth of your land and just try agro homeopathy without any chemical intervention, and then see the results. And if it helps you, then you can shift totally to the agro homeopathy. The advantage of using homeopathy in agriculture is that it is, I always call it super green medicine. So no, zero chemical residue. So you do not get anything in the crop. And at the end, we have tested so many fruits, vegetables, grains and pulses, legumes, anywhere in whatever studies we have done, we have not got even single, percentage of the chemical residue, which is a great thing. So right now we are doing farming consultations with farmers, with gardeners also who are terrace gardeners, because in cities in India also they don't have much of a land. So those who wanted to do terrace gardening, or if they have small space, we just tell them what kind of plants they can put there and grow their own vegetables, at least regular things. And along with that, we have a tie-up with a few universities which are into agriculture and homeopathy. And with their experts of agriculture, agronomists, homeopaths, we are conducting scientific studies of long duration so that it would be established that, yes, homeopathic intervention actually helps and it's not only placebo or our
Those
imaginary
days have
things.
gone.
The
Those
favorite
placebo
word.
days have gone.
The favorite word, placebo.
Yeah. No,
The
no,
plant
not
speak.
the modern homeopaths. Let me rephrase. The up and coming homeopaths, and the science and all the research that is being done. Placebo is like it doesn't mean anything anymore. It's like we're beyond that word, It's
Yeah.
time to just move on, It's just like someone saying, "Prove homeopathy." It's like just go away. Let's move forward, try it, and then you'll see that's the best proof. But I wanted to pick up on what you said because you were talking about, treating crops and plants and whatnot. But when we look at the global landscape and we look at homeopathy and the principles of homeopathy, like treats like, isn't it really beautiful that it's literally the source, which is, let's say, 60% of homeopathy is plant, right? Plant-based, the rest is minerals, imponderables, whatnot. And we're treating like with like, literally, right? Totally, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
It's so like treats like, right? It's like 2.0,
Exactly.
like treats like 2.0.
Yes, and hence proving the principle of simile also in some manner.
Isn't it?
Yes.
I have started gardening, so just because of the reasons that you have mentioned, the poison on the plate and this, and it's proving to be very difficult. And I was just telling my husband, listen, we go to the supermarket, it's full of crops and all those good looking lush vegetables, and here we cannot grow even one cucumber.
Brilliant.
It
What to
actually
do?
taught me a lot
What?
of patience and patience and dedication, because growing something needs a lot of time, efforts and patience. So that's needed, yes.
I tell you one story. We planted garlic. In UK, the garden works differently because of the weather. We planted the garlic, I think, October or November, and we still have not harvested it. And I am putting one full garlic in my food every day, and I was like, it has taken me months, and I still don't have it in my garden, and I'm using it like this every single day. It teaches you a lot.
And you know what the farmers as respect to this point, there are so many farmers who are have huge land and huge farming. Even they are also not using their own food, their grown food. Because one of my friend when I was doing my initial years of agro-homeopathy, initially the COVID time, there are so many this COVID gives up so many gardeners, so many people are coming to us and ask that how we can grow our own food at our terrace and all that. And after that, when I was actively posting my regular day-to-day activity of gardening in my Instagram page, so one of my childhood friend who was a very big shot farmer, who just came to me in my clinic time and asked me that what Vaibhav, you are doing all these things, you are growing food at your home and how you do all these things. So I was just saying that what is the need to ask you this? Because you are a big farmer, you have a big farming land. Why you are asking me to, how to grow? And so he said, what, Weber, the reality is whatever we are growing, we are not going to eat whatever we are growing. So I was surprised. I asked him that, why you are saying this? So he said, whatever chemical we are using, we understand, sense the fragrance of that pungent smell, pungent, taste of that particular chemical. And whenever we cut that harvested food, we smell that, we can sense that smell and taste of that particular chemical. You didn't find out that, but because we are regularly using that kind of chemical, so we get to know that these harvested are not safe, they have that kind of poison. So he was just saying that who will going to eat this kind of poison? So that day, actually, I was, wondering and thought to, help farmers to, get rid of these kind of heavy chemicals, because they are even whatever they are growing, they are not able to eat that.
Absolutely. It's in the UK, in Europe, it's the farming is very big in the UK, certainly, and across Europe as well. I mean, it's huge when you look at New Zealand and Australia and so forth, as you very well know yourselves. But what's very interesting is gardening is a big hobby. Nyla's mentioned, when it comes to summer months, even though the summer heat wave, we had one for 3 days this year, so not bad. 3 days out of 50, 365. I mean, wow. That's a return on investment, isn't it? You plant your sunflowers and they start crying because it's like, well, you just killed us, But anyway, as far as gardening is concerned, it's growing and people spend hours and hours in the garden. But sometimes the crops, or sorry, the plants just don't grow, or the vegetables don't grow. So do share some of your tips, what to do. Remember, the climate is very volatile in the UK. We had a heat wave, and then we've had 3 days so far of rain, heavy rain. We don't know what lies ahead,
So yeah, first I think Yamini will share, because Yamini have worked recently with some of the crops. She deal with that kind of heat, heavy heat. So Yamini, share your.
Yes. So I know that the weather is changing in UK also, and I guess in everywhere these days the weather is very transient. It just don't stay like that, So those three seasons which used to happen earlier, three, four seasons, now they have changed. So every other day you will see, different problem. So sometimes it's heat stress, sometimes it's very cold, sometimes raining out of, when there is no season. So first of all, we need to understand the feeding of the soil. So many times we are just watering the plants and we are not taking care of the feed of the soil. So assuring that macro and micronutrients are there in the soil is very, very important. Second thing, frequent watering is not required in garden. We have to water deeply but not frequently. Okay, so once you are watering, please check if you're watering for the second day, say after 2 days, 3 days, or the next day, you can check with your finger that if your finger is moist up to 1 or 2 inches, then you don't need to water that soil. It's already moist. Okay. But yes, if there is heat stroke and if you think that the water has already been evaporated or used by the plant, then only you need water. So, this mistake I have already done. So for me, watering was a big thing. I used to think that I'm doing too much for the plants. I'm watering it every day. And that's a great thing, but I learned it slowly that no, it was not. And second thing that you can always use, if you know that what kind of problems happen in that particular crop or particular plant. For example, if you are growing, say, roses, for example, And if you know that, okay, my roses doesn't bloom properly, or my garlic is not, you know, it's not coming, it's not getting fruits. So we can prevent that with homeopathic intervention. So whatever is the problem, we can just prevent that or give the medicine which is there for that problem. So that's how, and also biodiversity. I just want to mention this, that when you are doing gardening at home, please use different type of plants so that you have more bees, you have more pollens, and the transfer happens for the flowers, because blooming and flowering and fruiting will only happen if you have different type of plants. Otherwise, if you're growing only one thing, then it is not going to happen. So that we need to take care of.
So if we took, let's stick with Allium sativa, because it's been mentioned three times now. So garlic, let's go with it. Let's say it's not growing for whatever reason. Give us some golden nuggets for our listeners. What are the remedies that they could be looking at, possibly not as a prescription, but just from your experience, you know, what works, what can be done?
So first of all, if it is not growing, I feel that there is some nutritional deficiency, because if you're doing everything right and still it is not growing, there is some nutritional deficiency which we need to see. But I also want to mention one remedy which can treat this nutritional deficiency if we are not doing the soil testing and water testing. In farming, we do both compulsorily, because we are treating the huge land. So we exactly know that, okay, this micronutrient or macronutrient, it's either missing or toxic, or, you know, in present in large quantities. But in garden, that is not always possible for the home gardener, especially. So I would mention Calcarea Foss for that particular nutritional uptake. What Calcarea Foss does is it increases the nutritional uptake of available nutrients in the soil. So this is not, we are not giving calcium in raw form. That's not the idea. The idea is that we are improving the uptake of available calcium, available zinc, whatever is available in the soil, and enhancing the vigor of the plant, and that will give you fruits most probably.
That's a wonderful share.
It's just
because,
like,
in humans also, if you read the Materia Medica, Calcarea Foss is for nutritional problems, when you know, growing difficulties in humans also we prescribe that. So similarly, on similar principle, we can use that for plants, and we have tested it many times that it does help.
Yeah.
So you go with the human potencies as well, or you go to the tissue salts, give them in 6x or 30, 200. How do you do that? How do you give remedies to plants?
Mostly in low potencies. So either it could be 6C or 12C or even 30C. So different types. So we have to try first and then see, because it is also a little customizable according to, you know, what kind of results you're getting or what are your observations.
Sometimes we use higher potencies also, like whenever you go to nursery and buy some plants and you take to your home and immediately transfer to the new pots, then in that case sometimes plant can die. So that is some kind of a shock for a plant, transplantation shock we say. So in that case we use Econite, sudden change. So in that case we use higher potencies also. Like sometimes whenever you bring that plant to your home, there will be some kind of injury happen. So in that case we use Arnica. A plant injury, or if there is kind of, you know, whenever you prune that, you know if you are a gardener lover, you know that many times we have to prune our plants to, you know, grow them well. So after pruning we use calendula, because there are sharp cuts we do in pruning, so we use calendula to prevent our plants from that kind of injuries.
I'm smiling because it's just how beautiful you've given the examples. It's just literally like a lot of people new to gardening or, you know, farmers, might, oh my God, what am I supposed to be doing? But you've just explained it in such a nice transient way, you know, that it's exactly the same for humans, from kalkfoss to arnica to aconite and calendula. And interesting, isn't it? Which leads me on to a question, because here in, certainly in the West, magnesium is very depleted in the soil, right? Because of over-farming, overproduction. So does that play a vital role, you think, in plants, crops, vegetables, whatnot? Giving back, I mean, in homeopathic form? Have you found that?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
I don't think so. There is any kind of, you know, we don't have any kind of chemical content or chemical supplement in our medicines, you know. So as we say that we have ultra high diluted medicines, so we can increase the vitality and we can increase the uptake of the plants and improve the quality of plant. We don't have any kind of fertilizers. We don't have any kind of nutrient, micronutrient, secondary metabolites like that in homeopathy. So we used to, you know, use organic, you know, mixtures for giving the micro and macronutrients to our soil. If we want to fertile our soil, we use some kind of remedies to, you know, to help our plant to decompose that nutrient in the soil and take up that nutrient from the soil. Oh. That we can do with homeopathy.
Oh, beautiful. That's amazing. I want to go back to the germination stage. So preparing the soil and germination, does homeopathy have a role to play there? Like, not all the seeds germinate and we are waiting and then after 10 days or nothing came out and we're going to plant again and we sometimes lose the window of planting. What can we do there?
So, see, we can definitely improve the seed germination with the help of homeopathy. We have done so many experiments, but the remedy selection is totally, you know, it's a tailor-made for different kind of seeds. The, you know, the basic needs and basic factors of that particular seed is different. So, generally, we use silesia to improve the seed germination and also, you know, the factors, we just wanted to study the factors before sowing the soil. So we have made a mixture, a medicine, which is helpful in seed germination. Mm-hmm. We call that seed bath. The process we tell this seed bath. Before sowing, 4 hours we, you know, used to dip our seeds in that seed bath medicine, and then tell farmer to sow that seed, and we found that 99% seeds get germinated after using homeopathy. And
Wow.
the duration is also, you know, before, like any seed which is germinated 7 to 8 days, it takes 7 to 8 days in germination. But with the help of homeopathy, within 4 to 5 days, it germinate in 100% amount.
Wow.
That
Exemplary.
we can.
It's amazing, amazing, beautiful. And can we be so cheeky to ask you what is in that seed bath?
Yamini will tell you.
Because when the seeds will germinate, that's the time when they will start using it for other purposes. So it's good to give it to our listeners.
So mostly silesia, because silesia really helps. You know, it's in agriculture. If you read a little bit, you'll get to know that silesia is known as the building block element of the plant. So it's like protein for the plant. Okay, and I mean, in common language, not exactly protein, but it's, if there is silica in the soil, it's known as loamy soil, a little bit of loam when there is sand. So silica actually helps to build the strength so that the germination is better and the strength of the plant is better. So when we give the homeopathic silesia, what happens is that it improves the vigor, it stabilizes the plant in, you know, dynamic way. Not physically, I would say, because that we do not know, but dynamically it definitely helps. And we have done experimentation with different type of seeds, so oil seeds, you know, the seeds of red gram and many pumpkin seeds, whatever grains we could do, you know, with silica, and every time we got results and we were not disappointed. At I don't think in any, you know, any experiment we did not get the result. It was less or more, but for sure better germination, because we used control also at the same time. So, and in control, we have studied the amount of the action of alcohol as well, because many people say that, you know, alcohol is very good, ethyl alcohol is very good for farming, that also helps. So what we have done in few studies, we are going to publish this study, but I'm just telling you the glimpse, that we have taken two controls. One is, you know, without any intervention, which is just, you know, putting the seeds directly. One with only ethanol, only, you know, a rectified spirit, ethyl alcohol, and one with homeopathic silica. So when they say that, okay, you do not have any material in that, it can be done with only alcohol also. So we have experimented that, and we saw considerable shift when we used silica and not used silica. But of course, alcohol was also better than the control. This is also a fact.
Thank you. Thank you, both of you, for joining us and for whatever you do. Really thankful to you, because this is another voice of homeopathy that tells people that we don't need any type of proof. We are the proof.
Thank you so much, and we will talk to you very, very soon indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you,
thank you so
thank
much.
You so much.
It was really nice talking to you and to come on your show. We are very grateful for your invitation. And I just want to add one thing for the listeners, that if you are thinking of gardening or farming, resilience should be the goal of modern agriculture and not dependence. So if you, you know, look at, you know, how fertile your land is after your harvest, that is the great gift, rather than how much harvest you have. Harvest can be big or small, but if your land is fertile, you'll always have that harvest. So strongest pesticide is a healthy plant. If it is healthy, everything will fall on place.
Oh, golden nuggets. Thank you.
Beautifully said. Thank you, Dr. Yamini. That is so, so beautiful.
Thank you, both of you. And I really want to congratulate both of you. You are doing wonderful job for agro-homeopathy, for homeopathy, and for the young budding homeopaths, you know, to inspire them to, you know, practice homeopathy for the better future of the health industry. So thank you so much.
We're just trying whatever is in our capacity. Thank you for mentioning, and hopefully someone will be inspired to use homeopathy today. Thank you for joining.
Thank you.
I do hope you've enjoyed this week's episode of the Homeopathy Health Show. Tune in every week for inspiring conversations, bringing you all things health and well-being to your radio and podcast apps.
The more exposure the Homeopathy Health Show receives, the better for homeopathy around the world.
And please do support the show by clicking follow on our socials.
You can find us at www.homeopathyinpractice.co.uk and on Facebook and Instagram at Homeopathy in Practice. Do give us a follow on there. Let's promote the voice of homeopathy around the world together. Until next time, stay safe and take care.